Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike.
Lauren.
Mike, a lot of our listeners probably don't know this, but sometimes you and I tape a podcast while we're running.
That's right. We do.
We just never air the podcast.
Yeah, I would call it gossiping.
Right. Like, it's not actually a podcast. We're just talking junk as we run.
Yes. I am recording them, though.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Oh, did you not know that?
We're in a two-party consent state.
I'm just kidding. In that case, I was not recording anything that we said last time we took a run.
But you've actually been running a lot this year, and it's awesome. What inspired this?
Have you ever had that thing happen where you go to tie your shoes and you get winded?
No, but I've had that going up flights of stairs that typically I would be able to go up without panting.
Yeah, same.
So that happened.
Yes. And I decided to do something about it. So I decided to start running a lot more.
Do you have any tips and tricks for those who are looking to like get off the couch and do a 5K? And are there apps for this?
Talk to a coach. Talk to somebody who's very smart about fitness and understands your particular challenges and can give you good expert advice.
Lucky for everyone listening, we're bringing someone just like that on the show today. I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
And I am Michael Calori. I'm a senior editor at Wired.
We're also joined today by a very special guest, the writer Casey Johnston. It's so great to have you on the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So today, we're getting swole. Okay, not really. But we've been wanting to talk about exercise and tech for a few reasons. One, it's nearly summer in this part of the world, which means people are starting to think a little bit more about getting out and doing things, and sometimes wearing a little less clothing than usual. Two, digital fitness has infiltrated our world in recent years, and the pandemic really accelerated that trend. And three, there's a much broader conversation happening right now around weight and health and body positivity and how maybe our fitness goals shouldn't be about, you know, being somebody else's ideal, but about being strong and functional. And honestly, as soon as we started talking about this among our little pod group here, we said, we have to get Casey Johnston on the show. We basically emailed her and said, Casey, will you please, please come on the show? Like, we emailed her this week, please come on the show. So Casey, we are so thrilled to have you.
That was such a quick jump from, we're talking about this, you have to have me on immediately. That was like, it really did happen that fast. Like, things don't always, a lot of people schedule their stuff out really far in advance. I don't mean to make you sound unprepared, but
Oh no, we do this show every week, and every week it's like, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's how I do everything that I do. Also, you really it brings a little like a little sort of like a la minute like element to everything, that an energy that people love. They don't know that it's there, but that's what you love about us.
Now, for those who aren't familiar, Casey writes a newsletter called She's a Beast that's all about fitness and strength training. She has an ebook that's an introduction to lifting called Lift Off Couch to Barbell. And she's also working on a forthcoming book about the science and culture of strength training. So, Casey, we have a bunch of questions for you today. And we should also note that you were like one of us at one point. You worked in newsrooms. You were writing about tech. And then you got really into lifting and you went totally independent. So maybe we should first ask you, how did you get so into lifting?
Yeah, I actually had for several years prior to that been a runner. I got into running just as like a, you know, I don't feel that great physically. I like want to lose weight. I feel bad about myself. I need to do exercise. I hate exercising. I hate the idea of exercising, but like, I feel like I have to. What's the sort of lowest barrier to entry? And that ended up being, I was like, okay, running requires very little overhead. Like there's no class format. There's no like special equipment. I don't have to go to a gym. You just put on the shoes, you go outside and you run. And so I got into running and I like hated every minute of it, but I felt like that was what I had to do. And I got to a point where I was just like, I felt like I was running more and more. I ran a few half marathons and I was proud of those accomplishments, but I was also still focused on like my body weight and how I looked. And I felt like I was not reaching a point where I could just sort of like stop thinking so much about it. I was like trying to eat, you know, healthy, but like not very much. And I was trying to run and I was like, I just want to get to a point where this feels set it and forget it. And I don't have to think so much. And then around 2013, 14, I happened across a post on Reddit where a woman was describing her experience with lifting weights for 6 months. And she had before and after photos and like her, you know, my lifts went from this to this. And like, here's the broad strokes of the program that I'm doing. And here's how long it takes me every time I do it, which was only like, I think it was like 30 minutes. And it was only 3 days a week. And she was like, I'm eating, trying to eat more. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Trying to eat more when you're working out. So like looking at all of this, I was like, I'm like running several hours a week. And this lady's in the gym for like 30 minutes, three times a week. She's eating a lot of food. And the big thing that stuck out about her photos to me that I think did for a lot of people, because this post went very viral at the time, was that she had gotten like a little bit smaller. She was like, quote unquote, more toned from like the beginning of it to 6 months in. And I was just like, hold on. I have only ever heard that lifting will make you bulky. And yet here is this lady lifting very heavy weights, doing like all of the extreme bro stuff in the gym. And not only has it not done what I was told that it would do, it has done everything that I wished that running and all of my dieting would have done to my body, but for way less effort. She sounds like much happier than I felt at the time. So I was just like, no one told me about this. Why doesn't anybody know about this? And I looked into it more and did a lot of research online, which like at the time there were not amazing resources for kind of transitioning somebody like me who didn't know the first thing about lifting weights. But I sort of cobbled it all together for myself and I almost instantly like loved it. I just like loved the style of training so much. It was very gratifying to get stronger, but also the workouts were shorter and they involved like, you know, you do go to the gym, get set up for your squats, you do 5 squats and then rest for a minute and then do 5 more squats and rest for a minute, 5 more squats and then you're done with squats. And everything that I had ever known about lifting up till that point was like, you're doing 3 sets of 20 of like, you know, chair dips and like as fast as you can and like you're supersetting things and all of this, like it was very frenetic and like a lot of activity. Whereas this was very focused on like intensity and like building strength and creating progress so that you're like getting stronger every time that you go to the gym. You're adding a little bit of weight. And before you know it, you're like lifting quite a lot of weight without having to be like this really already talented person at lifting. Like you're not an Olympic athlete or a football player. You're like just a normal guy at the gym, adding a little bit of weight every time. And it just all sort of works. And it like turns out your body is sort of like made for this. Like it's good at sort of building muscle through this process. And I just didn't know about any of this.
I also didn't know that. And I feel like I learned that from you. I think when you started writing about this stuff and you started your newsletter, it was part of a wave of education that was coming out about this, particularly fitness for women and particularly women who lift. And I'm hoping you can talk a little bit about that sort of that wave that you were part of. I would say you were at the front of the wave. Maybe you don't feel that way, but you know, there are a lot of resources out there for women who want to lift now. And I think you were one of the first, if not, you know, the most prominent of those.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to claim any like really specific spot or like I was the first to do XYZ, but I do think that I felt sort of pulled between these two sides where there was sort of two broad camps where there were like women who were what we call bikini class bodybuilders, which was at the time the sort of like smallest class that you could be. And you lift a certain way and diet a certain way with the idea of having a very specific aesthetic. And then you do a show and you're judged on like all the shape of your muscles. And then there were on kind of the other end of the lifting spectrum, there were power lifters, strength athletes, Olympic weightlifters. Some of them were women, most of them were men, and they still are, unfortunately, but they were increasingly putting resources online about how to lift. And I think, frankly, there was a real explosion too, just with like everyone having a phone in their pocket, because like being able to record yourself and see your lifts and like show them to other people is such a core part of lifting, like to make sure you're doing it right. That was not easy to do pre-smartphone. In the past, if you wanted to do it, you would have to be part of the social fabric of the gym and have a bro checking your form. What does he know? Maybe a lot, maybe nothing, who knows? But yeah, there was a lot of variety of resources out there. And I had kind of a specific thing that I wanted where I was like, I think I was more on the powerlifting end of the spectrum, where I got into this with a view toward an aesthetic. Like I had always wanted to lose weight. I felt like I wanted to look a certain way. I was never getting there. But then once I got into this, I was like, oh, I just really, this is giving me like a different feeling about my body. And like actually
you were strong.
Actually eating food and all of these things reshaped my thinking about it, not just in like a intellectual way, but like I've learned later that literally dieting too much makes your brain work in a certain way where you get very rigid, very fearful about like following rules and these kinds of things. It sort of becomes self-reinforcing where you're like, the more you diet, you're like, I need to diet, I need to be skinny, I need to like have a low body weight, otherwise like no one's gonna like me. Like if you believe those things, dieting is gonna make you so much more fearful to not follow those rules. So just going back to eating and getting into this more constructive cycle of like, I'm lifting, I'm building muscle, I'm building strength, and I'm eating food to enable that, to have those things sort of like all working together and reinforcing each other was like an incredibly gratifying experience compared to the opposite end of the spectrum when I had been trying to like do the most and the least at the same time, and they were just like fighting each other really bad.
Casey, I remember DMing with you at one point when I had gotten back into lifting, partly because I had a knee injury, and to your earlier point, running was just like painful and I wasn't really enjoying it. But I do remember one of the things that I really liked about your writing was that you were basically like, I would sum up your ethos as very much like eat the cookies. Like just like don't deny yourself, especially if you're lifting. You're burning so much food for fuel at that point. And I feel like we could talk about that forever, but I also wanted to get the chance to ask you before the break about your relationship to tech, because you are this brand and you're building this brand online. But I've seen like, you know, video clips of you working out, and you're not wearing like all the latest wearables and gadgets, right? So what is your relationship to technology as part of your health and fitness routine?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've dabbled in wearables over the years. I mean, going back to when I was a gadget blogger myself, reviewing like Fitbits and things like this. So like, I'm familiar. I know, I understand what the offering is. But yeah, I think that those gadgets are like not super additive in terms of like what most people need to accomplish what it is that they want to get out of especially strength training, but like eating. Like a lot of them don't even like track strength training that well, which is lame. But it's like, do you have the basic building blocks? It's like, are you eating enough? Are you like training the right amount at the right intensity? Are you like putting in effort? Are you taking your rest days? It's like, just whether you're doing those things or not matters so much more than like, are you doing them like exactly perfectly in a way that needs to be measured by an Apple Watch or whatever the device may be. When I was getting more into lifting and my brain felt super broken about like food intake and like how much I should be eating. Mm-hmm. So I used at the time MyFitnessPal just to log my food and to kind of like puzzle piece together different meals. Like, it's okay, I need this much chicken breast and like this many pieces of bread and like this salad and whatever. And it just allowed me to see how it all fit together. And then I have gone back and forth on tracking my actual lifting in a spreadsheet, just like logging the weights and the reps and those kinds of things and how I felt. But I've also done it with just like a notebook, and that's like, it's just a little bit more flexible to be able to like write certain things down. And I think that's kind of it as far as tech gadgets go.
Sounds healthy all around, to be honest. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with more fitness talk.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going
to
be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Okay, we've kept all of you waiting for long enough. Now we're actually going to ask Casey not just about her career, but her health and fitness tips, many of which she explains in greater detail in her newsletter, She's a Beast. So that's a shameless plug. Subscribe to Casey Johnston's newsletter, She's a Beast. Casey, where should we begin? And by that, I literally mean if someone wants to get started lifting, what's the first thing they should do?
What should they do to get started lifting? I have to say, buy my book, Lift Off Couch to Barbell, just because honestly, I made it because there's really not that many resources. If your goal is to learn to get stronger, to add that little bit of weight every time and like do everything with good form, a lot of fitness programs are not based around that. They're just kind of like giving you activities day after day. This is really designed to help you like build the skills of lifting, learning how to do it and like how to get stronger. So a plug for my book, if that's like something that you're interested in. I mean, I think there's a lot online about how to learn to squat, how to learn a deadlift. It can be like a little bit of varying quality, but we're really living in an incredible time where it's so much easier to share information about this stuff in the past, it would have been like you have to buy a book and like read these, you know, the way that I learned in part was to like buy a 400 page book that had literally 100 pages just on squatting. And there were like photos and stuff, but a lot of it was just like explanatory text of how things should move and what things should feel like. Videos can do a lot of the work of that. It can take a lot of the pressure off of having to like minutely describe everything. So I would say that's a not a bad place to start. I think Mike's tip about finding a coach is a really good one. That can be tricky also, but like an interaction that you should feel comfortable having with a personal trainer is to say like, here's my goals. I want to learn to lift heavy weights, and then expect the personal trainer to help you get to that point. It's not supposed to be an interaction where it's like you do the personal trainer's program because the personal trainer says. There are people like that, but that doesn't have to be the way that it is. I think joining a gym has become a bit of a fraught thing. Like during COVID, it was like, you know, access to gyms was really spotty. I think more and more people are going back. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can get in a gym that you can't get working out at home. It's so much easier to use the weights that are in a gym. They already are at all of the increments that you need in order to get stronger. They have all of the dumbbells, they have the barbells and the plates and the racks. You don't need to know how to use them right away. You can like work into using them. And I think that's a thing that a lot of people don't know. They're like, oh, I have to be strong enough to do this, or I'm not the type of person to do it. And it's like, that's not the case at all. Like anybody can learn to like lift a barbell. A barbell is 45 pounds. It might sound like a lot of weight, but when you're doing these big movements that use a lot of your big muscles at once, you can do a lot more than you think. And that's like one of the really gratifying parts of this. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time also when I was getting into lifting, just practicing at home, the movements, the up and down of it, like no weight, just using like literally a Swiffer handle as like the barbell nice. On my back and just like trying to get the movement patterns uh-huh. down.
Would you call those cleans? Sorry, that was really bad.
The cleanest type of clean.
What about nutrition? What are the biggest or most important changes that people should understand they're going to have to make in how they eat and what they eat when they start a fitness journey for the first time?
Fitness in general, I mean, I found even when I was getting into running, it was like my tolerance for eating a lot of like not sort of trying to eat basically healthy went down. And it's like you just feel so much worse trying to work out when you're also if you're like not eating, you know, a vegetable every now and then, or like even now I would say getting an adequate amount of fuel. It is not wasting a workout. This is something that I really believed. It is not wasting a workout to eat afterward. You need to, that's like the time you need to eat is after a workout because your body needs to sort of start the rebuilding process. And that's like especially true of strength training. And then when it comes to strength training, the number one thing you probably need to do is eat more protein. It is a lot of protein that it takes to build new muscle. But you can kind of work up to it as long as you have patience about the process. It's like not everything is going to like come together right away if you're not sure like how to get enough protein in your diet, but you don't have to like put the pressure on yourself to do it perfectly right away.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean meat either. People can get protein from all different sources.
You can do Greek yogurt, eggs if you do eggs. Is it tempeh? I've actually never known that. I've only like read it. Tempeh. I'm trying to think. Impossible meats, you know. There's a lot of options.
I put a scoop or a scoop and a half of hemp protein powder in my overnight oats that I got from you, the recipe for which I got from you. And that is actually really helpful. Like, you know, you just put as much protein powder into your smoothies or into your overnight oats that you can really handle because it doesn't taste very good and has kind of like a weird grittiness to it. But,
well, hemp protein especially, you really picked a varietal that's unfriendly. Yes.
We are in San Francisco, so yeah. we're practically required to eat things like this here.
Yes, yeah. We are.
very fair. But yeah, I put half a scoop in my oats still almost every day. So yeah, having a supplement, you don't want to make the whole diet out of the protein powder, but that helps. It goes a long way to do a little bit of protein powder for sure.
Casey, what about sleep? How much are you sleeping these days?
I would say, I mean, the main thing to know is that rest in general, not just sleeping, but like having what we call rest days in lifting, that's when like the muscle is really built. So you need to take time between your sessions to give your body the space to process all of the protein, but also the carbs and the fats, and to refueling your body and being ready for the next session. So that's part of this whole picture. It happens when you sleep as well. I mean, I am not an amazing sleeper, I would say. I am a waker-upper in the middle of the night for a couple of hours, but because my schedule is flexible, this is not, it's not the end of the world for me, at least for right now. But I try to get my 8 hours. I don't stress about that too much. I think we can get too stressed about, like, am I getting enough of the perfect kind of sleep? So with that in mind, that's like, don't stress about it too much, but like, you do need it. It is part of this picture for sure.
Do we need to weigh ourselves every day?
I feel like I would, like, nothing is against the rules, I would say, as long as you're not doing it in a way that is toxic to yourself. I have trouble picturing a health practice where weighing yourself every day is like something that someone's doing and they're feeling like a-okay about themselves. What I would say, if someone were asking me, you know, they've achieved sort of like neutrality toward their body size and they're just trying to make some changes, what I've done in the past is weigh myself every few days, every 3 days, every 5 days, and I track it. Just because, especially for, I don't think men have this problem. Women have this problem where we have our menstrual cycles, and that causes our weight to fluctuate over the course of 4 to 5 weeks, depending on the length of your cycle. So you see the chart go. I'm making a very jagged motion with my hand. So
I'm sitting here right now, Casey, with my pants like unbuckled. So literally. So I totally know this feeling.
Yes. So by tracking it, you can see the overall trend. It's like you're not going to, your weight shouldn't change that much day to day. Like in general, it's a hard thing to see on a one day to the next cycle. You can see it over a month. Usually the recommendation, I mean, like probably everyone's heard this in magazines, you can do more specific math for your own body, but the recommendations are depending on your size, it scales with your size, like how much weight change you really should be trying to produce every week or every month. And it's not that much. It's like a few pounds a month. It should be slow and gradual. Otherwise, you're kind of like doing damage in all kinds of ways that's going to come back to bite you.
Casey, if I can ask you quickly, how should people go about starting a new program in a way that they don't get hurt?
This is a good question. I get a lot of people who are further along in their sort of like journey with their body where they're like, I have injuries, I have, you know, health issues and these kinds of things. And like, what do I do? It's hard to address everything in like a sweeping way because you can have all kinds of stuff going on. I would say the main thing is don't get discouraged. Don't count yourself out of doing something like lifting even. Like even if a lot of people think like having a back problem is a contraindicator to lifting. If you have back problems, you shouldn't lift. That is not necessarily true. A lot of times even, I don't want anyone to like go out, be like Casey said I could, and then go out and start like deadlifting even though they have like a slipped disc. But know intellectually that it like is possible, and then seek an expert opinion. Ideally, you want a trainer, or I would, you know, even recommend a powerlifting coach to work with. A thing that people don't know about coaches and trainers a lot of the time is they think like, oh, I need to kind of like be ready to go. I need to be like in perfect health in order for working with a coach or a trainer to be worth it. And I just want to say the number one thing people should know is that no one knows more and knows better about working with injured people than like a powerlifting coach. People get hurt in these sports all of the time in like surmountable ways. Working around injuries and recovering from injuries is the whole thing. It's like to expect that you will never get injured or never have a health issue in your fitness journey is like a false thing. Like don't participate in that. Everything is about learning to manage and recover from these less than ideal scenarios. You need to be able to, I mean, it's like this bigger picture thing of learning to accept less than perfection. It was always difficult for me, but it's like part of the beauty of this process is that you're learning these bigger lessons through going through the motions of this act.
Just like journalism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know I'm always accepting less than perfection in my journalism.
A lot of great life lessons there. Thank you for that. We're going to take another quick break and come back with our recommendations.
Hackers and cybercriminals have always held this kind of special fascination.
Obviously, I can't tell you too much about what I do.
It's a game. Who's the best hacker? And I was like, well, this is child's play.
I'm Dina Temple Raston. And on the Click Here podcast, you'll meet them and the people trying to stop them.
We're not afraid of the attack. We're afraid of the creativity and the intelligence of the human being behind it.
Click Here. Stories about the people making and breaking our digital world.
AI machine.
Satellite. Engine ignition.
Click Here.
And liftoff.
Click Here. Every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Casey, as our guest of honor, what's your recommendation this week?
My recommendation for like anything in the whole world?
It can be anything. One of our former staffers once recommended both sliced lemons and keeping the top button of your shirt open, which we're still a little unsure about.
Yeah.
Anything.
Embrace your body, I say. Okay. Well, I might be like, I feel like I'm going to be stealing the good answer, but pursuant to what I was saying about resting, part of that I feel like is having good activities to do while you're sitting down. My activity this week has been Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda. I don't even know how many hours I have in it just because I think the Switch is like not telling you in a very strange way. It's like the little dialogue where it normally says like hours played, it just says, oh, you bought it like 3 days ago, but it's like not disclosing to me how many hours it's been, but it's been a lot of hours.
What is time? Yeah.
What is time? And it's a great, it's like so, it's as good as I could have hoped for it to be as somebody who played Breath of the Wild all the way through. I think I was like halfway through or three quarters of the way through Master Mode. Like it's really that game. It's doing wonders for me.
Nice.
I really like, Casey, that you're sticking with the theme of recommending things that never go out of style, like Nintendo and like barbells and food. Like this just like,
yeah, it's just the basics, trendy things. I mean like just think back on all the trendy things that you've seen and like how many of them really actually helped anyone or like persisted. It's just the base. You gotta stick with the basics. Like invest in the basics.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Just
it's
like
it's
and
the
Nintendo
capsule
is somewhere in there too.
The capsule wardrobe of like working out is like lift your weights, eat your food, go to sleep.
Play Zelda. Mike, what's your recommendation?
All right. So summer's here, right? We're approaching barbecue season. We've got Memorial Day coming up in a short while. We've got 4th of July coming up in a short while. So you're going to be going to a lot of cookouts. My recommendation is save the pickle brine. Pickle brine is one of those things that is nearly infinitely reusable in your kitchen. And I always save the pickle brine. I'm not a big fan of the ones that have a ton of sugar in them, but all pickle brines will be salty. They'll be a little bit sweet. They'll be sour and vinegary, and they'll have aromatics infused in them like dill and garlic and spices. You can use it in all sorts of things to jazz up all sorts of things. Like you can put it in your pasta sauce. You can put it in your salad dressings. You can make like vodka martinis with it if you're a vodka martini person. You can make hot sauce out of it. Pickle brine hot sauce is a delight if you make your own hot sauces. Or you can just buy hot sauce and then dilute it with pickle brine and then put it in a squeeze bottle and then put it on absolutely everything from French fries to hot dogs to chips and other things with potatoes in them. That's my recommendation. Save the pickle brine. Don't toss it at your next barbecue. Well, it's salty enough where it will not go bad for a very, very long time. But yeah, it can live in your fridge for, I would say, 10 months.
It sounds gross, but I trust you.
There are people who drink it as a chaser after whiskey. Mm. I'm not one of those people, yeah. So I'm not that nuts for it. But I will say that, like, you know, when I see people finish the last pickle and then the jar is like half full of brine and then they dump it, I'm like, what are you doing? You're throwing away like one of the best seasonings you have in your kitchen right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
I like to picture you being that guy at the barbecue. Like, you run over and you're like, say, you save the pickle juice. You're like, hey,
just
man.
Just cradling the pickle jar like a baby and like running out of there.
Yeah. No shame in this game. I mean, I would probably go over and politely ask, can I have that? Can I have that instead of you
Take
throwing it away?
Hands.
Yeah. I don't eat meat. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't eat meat. But for people who do, you can also use it to marinate meat. So if you want to marinate beef or chicken in it, it's also really good for that. So yeah, tons of uses. Look it up. Do a little bit of research on the interweb and you'll find all kinds of great things that you could do instead of dumping it down the drain.
Nice. I like to imagine if you were ever a New Yorker, you'd be that guy like hanging outside of Katz's, just being like, hey, have any half-used pickle jars over here?
Katz's, is that like a pet supply store?
I don't even know what to do with you sometimes.
What's your recommendation,
Well,
Lauren?
Speaking of New Yorkers, my recommendation this week is a new podcast hosted by Julia Louis-Dreyfus. A lot of you know who she is, but for those who don't, Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld, also Veep in Veep. She's an amazing, amazing actor, and she has a new podcast called Wiser Than Me, which I think plays in nicely to the theme of this episode, because the premise of the show is that she interviews women who are older than her. Julia is in her 60s now, but she interviews people like Jane Fonda, Fran Lebowitz, Darlene Love, Ruth Reichel, and she asks them basically about their lives. They talk about some of the sexism they've encountered in their careers. They talk about, I don't know, their relationships. If they have children, their children, who in many cases are now adults. They talk about the obstacles they've overcome in life, but they talk about staying young at heart and staying healthy. And so there's like a pretty consistent theme so far across the episodes I've listened to. And many of the women say, like, you have to keep moving. Like, that's the key, right? To aging gracefully and not just extending your lifespan, but extending your health span. You have to just keep active, keep moving, keep sharp. And I love it.
That's
great. Love this podcast so much. I can't wait to listen to more episodes.
How long are the interviews?
They're about an hour long.
About an hour.
Yeah. Isabel Allende.
Oh.
Isabel Allende, that was the other one.
Yeah.
Love that one.
Nice.
So, so good. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. Wiser Than Me. And Julia's just like, she's a great interviewer. I shouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, because she's clearly very good at like speaking, articulating.
It's a skill.
But it is a skill.
It's like a learned skill.
Yeah, she's great. And then she calls her mother at the end of every episode. And she's like, Mommy, I talked to Jane Fonda, you know, and then they have this like this really great little dialogue, and it's very endearing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that is what I recommend this week. All right. That's our show this week. Casey, it's been such a delight. Thank you so much for joining us and inspiring us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening. If you have feedback, you can find all of us on Twitter. I think we're all on Blue Sky now, too.
I've been on Blue Sky for like an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Find us on Blue Sky. It's where all the cool kids are hanging.
Yeah.
Just check the show notes. We'll include our handles. Our producer is the excellent Boone Ashworth, who I might add also helped inspire this show. This was actually his idea. Boone is starting a new fitness journey. We're now calling him Swole Boone, affectionately.
Swole Boone.
So find Swole Boone on Blue Sky once we get him an invite. goodbye for now, and we'll be back soon.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the Reviews Director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jesse Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.